It's good to be with the saints this morning. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Ashley was going to talk about something else, and on the way home, I got inspired by the radio. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We actually used this in another study here not too long ago, but this verse is so good. It's been a while since we've discussed this. I heard Brother Dan talk about this a number of years ago. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity this morning we have to come together and study your word. As we've taken that time this morning, may the words on the page effectually work in us that believe, that we might take the truth of God's word and relay it to a world that knows absolutely nothing about God. And as we are able to do that, may all honor, glory, and respect go to you, because it is you who have transformed us from a sinner to a saint, and that we have the truth, and truly the truth will set us free. We pray these things through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Got a purple marker. It ought to be pretty. Look like Easter. Look like spring. Yesterday while I was coming back, and I was asked, and at the same time, Tracy has a unique way of asking. It's hard to turn the guy down, you know. And he said, when you preach, I, by chance, turned on a local Christian radio station, and they were talking about something I spoke on before, and I heard Dan in a whole lot more detail go on before. On a little word that just makes everybody's stomach turn that understands anything about Scripture at all. They were talking about this. Can you see that? Maybe I better find another pen. They were talking about divorce. Right away, everybody just gets this pit in their stomach whenever they hear about divorce. And there's a lot of incredibly bad doctrine out there that's floating around about divorce. In divorce, you hear so many different things. You know, there. When they talk about divorce, they say there is no innocent party. Do you know what that means? You're all guilty. It's your fault. Oh, no, no, no. It's your fault. Then they go fight back and forth and bicker. That's absolutely incorrect. And we'll go over that in a little bit. Because there can be one guilty party, and there can be one party that's absolutely guiltless. No flaws, no mistakes, no runs, no drips, no errors. That was off of a commercial not too many years ago, wasn't it? When they talk about divorce, and I got some of this stuff written down here. Bear with me. Like I say, my eye is being a little contrary this morning, even though there's a patch over it. Works on the other eye, too. Again, there's so much confusion. There are times, there are ones that say, you can only be married once in your life. If you're divorced, you're done. Is that true? Is it? Really? We won't go over all this today, obviously. You can only, if you are divorced, remarry if your spouse dies. In other words, suppose, make pretend, the land of make-believe. We've been married 40 years. Suppose Judy and I just out of the blue got divorced. We cannot remarry unless one of us dies. Bob dies. Now it's okay for G to go ahead and get remarried. You ever hear anything like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
The royal family.
Yes. Very much. She gets an atta girl. You can only get a divorce if you or your spouse is caught in adultery. Pardon? Oh, my. Oh, yeah. And if we have time, we'll get to a verse here where, really, to be honest with you, you don't get divorced whenever one commits adultery. Guess what happens to the person who commits adultery? They get stoned to death. That law is tough, man. You wonder, it's obvious there is no way in the world that we could ever follow it. We are sinners saved by grace. First of all, let me say this up front. If you have ever been in a divorce, or if you know somebody in the family that has gone through a divorce, let me tell you right now, I'm sorry for you. I feel for you. It breaks my heart that you've been through that. Because if you ever talked to anybody that's gone through a divorce, it is not pretty at all. It's ugly. And it's downright rude and ignorant. I will say, if you're a believer, hopefully you won't go through a divorce. But can it happen? Oh yeah. So what we're going to talk about in relative short order this morning, there is no way we'll get through all this in 1 week, and that's okay. Because we can invite Dan back and let him talk about it, because I'll tell you what, he went a lot more involved than I did a number of years ago, and that guy, he is cool. You know, I mean, like when we were there yesterday, the men would sit by that way at this retreat, and we'd sit and we'd talk back and forth, and it amazes me, I mean this in no ignorant fashion, it amazes me how much your son talks. I mean, I sat there and I heard him talk, and I'm like, wow. I mean, I knew he knew his Bible, but he came up with stuff that I had my chin hit the floor. I never saw that before. I appreciate him. Oh, he put so much work into that retreat. I'm telling you what. Kudos to your brother. What is a divorce? Ah! I just broke the microphone. Here is Noah Webster's definition of divorce. Now we'll see if this one works. Nope. Let's try another one. Hear that? If I can't find one, I'll just say what it is and hopefully you guys retain it, all right? Well, no, I kept it. Not the guy with the ark. The guy that wrote the dictionary. All right. Divorce. To dissolve a marriage. To separate a husband and wife. Pretty simple, isn't it? Old Mr. Webster, it's the end of a marriage, is what it is. And what these gentlemen were doing when they were talking yesterday was one was saying another one would add to it, another one would add less to it, another one would add more to it. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you guys don't have a clue. They're taking and they're putting these poor people that have been through this unfortunate situation and making life difficult for them, making it more. I actually didn't hear this part yesterday. I heard it before. And they make it so legalistic, you know. Do you know in some churches you cannot, Pam, Do you know in some churches, if you play the piano, if you get a divorce, you can't do that no more? What? Let me see if I can find that in the Bible. Guess what? Ain't there. My former church I used to be a part of. My father can beat your father dominoes, amen. If you're divorced, you can go to church, but you cannot be an active member, so to speak, and you cannot take the Lord's Supper. First of all, the Lord's Supper wasn't for us. It was for who? And second of all, if we were to take the Lord's Supper today, how is it that me getting a divorce from my wife does not allow me to partake of that? Give me a verse. Well, that's just in our church constitution. Well, you need to take that constitution, get some white out, get rid of it, and change it, make it accurate. Because that's not true. Can I just picture Pam, me walking over to Pam and saying, Pam, we're sorry you got divorced. Guess what? You can't play the piano no more. What's that do to her? Isn't that, that is such tremendous legalism. And it's a bunch of hogwash. It's a bunch of bull. The divorce is an end of a marriage. Absolutely, no question. You can never divorce anybody. We're sorry. I remember in catechism class that I took billions and billions of years ago. You know, and that my father can beat your father at dominoes thing. Catechism class, where they teach you the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. You might have a paper signed by the judge that says you're divorced, but guess what? In the eyes of God, according to the Roman Catholic Church, guess what? You still are. You're still married to that person. Let's talk about that one first. First day with my new tongue. Can you, in the eyes of the Lord, get a divorce? Yes. And you know what? I'll tell you right now up front, God's okay with it. I guarantee he would probably hope that you two could work things out. But if you can't, and there are times and situations you just cannot, it's okay with him. Because isn't he the one that came up with the law in the first place, by the way? Don't you think it's okay? If he helped institute that law, don't you think he says that this law is a good thing? Those 613 laws, commandments, and ordinances? It's okay. It's okay. We're sorry, but it's okay. Prove all things, hold to that which is good. There's only two situations mentioned in the scripture where you're not, a guy is not allowed to get a divorce. One, two. There's only two situations mentioned in scripture where an individual is not allowed to get a divorce. What are they? Let's take a look. If you would with me, go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Yeah, I remember Dan talking about stuff like this. There is a guy, besides spreading the word across the world, besides opening up an orphanage, there is a guy, and I'm telling you right now, they could talk for 2 hours and say, we're going to close in a word of prayer, and we'll all go like, why are we done already for? Man, that guy is a tremendous man. Can't tell I really like Dan Gross, do you? By the way, I love your husband too. All right. Deuteronomy, what's that?
He's the Marlboro man.
He's the Marlboro man. And he was the one that was kind enough to tell you that he's more important than you are. If you're listening on the TV, radio, or whatever you're listening to, there's a long story behind that. It's a lighthearted thing. Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Okay? Deuteronomy 22. I better turn there myself. Deuteronomy 22, verse number 13. Two situations in Scripture where you cannot divorce. You cannot. Deuteronomy 22, verse number 13. Now, Deuteronomy is written to what group of people? To Israel. Verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her, they have sexual relation. All right? Very simple. And he what's her? Have you ever seen a husband and wife that just cannot stand each other? I take it by your chuckles, you're going, uh-huh. Look at my neighbors. Again, just a joke. Let it go. In verse 14, and give occasions of speech against her. And bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. He's saying she wasn't a virgin. All right? Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city of the gate. And the damsel's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter unto the man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found her not a maid, and these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of the city shall take that man and chastise him. Stop! What's going on here? I don't have a scripture verse to back this. This is what I have read, explaining what's going on here. This gentleman had a wife. They had sexual relations. And as time went on, they tended not to like each other. Or at least he didn't like her. It says he didn't like her. It doesn't say about her liking him. Believe it or not, this woman could still possibly like this guy. What he's going in front of the elders of the city is he's saying to the elders of the city, this woman came to be my wife and I found she wasn't a virgin. Her dad gets the cloth. It's a blanket. This is what I understand. Don't have a verse to back this. Just being upfront and honest to you. But this is what I've heard, and it sounds probably what is accurate. Where they had relationship was on the blanket. First time the woman, oftentimes that's because of what just transpired, she bleeds a little. All right? Just being totally upfront with you. They bring the blanket, lay it out. The dad of the daughter says, my daughter was so a virgin, here's proof. The elders of the city look at it. What happens after that? Go to verse 19. Verse 18, and the elders of the city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall amorous, which is fine, F-I-N-E, penalty, so to speak. They shall fine, I lost my place. Verse 19, I'll start from the beginning again. And they shall amorous him in the 100 shekels of silver and give them to the father of the damsel because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away for how long? This louse comes up to this poor woman, and he says, well, she wasn't a virgin even. The dad says, bull, I've got proof that she was, and here it is. The elders of the city take that guy and they fine him. And here's how much they fine him. You know much how you can't stand her? You said you hate her. You can't divorce her. And you have to take care of her all the days of your life. If you live to be 103 years old, you need to take care of her till you're 103 years old. Too bad you lose. And we're fining you. I think this might make some goofball who is bad enough to bring a bad name to a lady, and they're punishing him. Guess what? You cannot divorce her all the days of your life. You got to take care of her. You got to coddle her. You got to treat her right. One instance that you can never divorce. Cannot, under any circumstance, you cannot divorce her. Sorry, you lose. Where's another one? Go to Deuteronomy 22 again. Verse number 28. Verse 28. Oh, by the way, don't have time. This guy better consider himself lucky, because think about evil. He was giving her a bad name, and under Israel's law, what would have happened to that poor girl if she was not a virgin? They would have stoned her to death. How evil was that man? He's lucky he's only getting fined and having to take care of her all the days of his life, because that would upset some people. They'd probably take that louse and just beat the living daylights out of them. Verse 28, if a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, keeping it simple, she doesn't have a boyfriend, she doesn't have a fiance, and he laid hold on her, and he lieth with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his what? Because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all the days of his life. Guess what? Here we go again. Here's a guy, sees a girl, thinks she's pretty cute. You think that happens today, by the way? And he smooth talks her. And they have a relationship. They, by chance, come across this guy. They say, wait a minute here. Notice daddy is there to take care of his daughter again. They find this guy, 50 shekels of silver. And he says, congratulations, you know that girl you thought was pretty cute? She's now your wife, and you cannot divorce her for how long? All the days. He can never divorce her. Cannot ever divorce her. There's two instances in your Bible that I found that a man cannot divorce his girl. And there they are. Are there any other situations or circumstances that a guy or a gal can divorce their spouse in the scripture? Yes. Many instances. We're going to go over a couple of them here momentarily. Look at Deuteronomy 24. Make sure I'm in the right place. Verse number 1. Deuteronomy 24:1. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanliness in her, then let him write her a what? No, 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 no. You can't do that. That's against the church constitution. Man finds a girl, they fall in love, they get married. As time goes on, little strife enters in. Have you ever been, look, let's be honest with each other. Husband, wife, your spouse, S-P-O-U-S-E, you know your spouse. Oh, spouse, never mind. They get married, then there's a little contention comes in. Man, there are times I love my wife dearly. We've been married 40 years. But there are times, do you think each one of us drives each other nuts? Judy, are there times that I drive you nuts? She's sitting there going,
I refuse to answer that.
She says, I refuse to answer that. Are there times I drive her crazy, or the times she drives me crazy? This guy here, it comes to the point, we work things out, by the way, just so you know. Have you ever had a fight with your husband or wife? Thou shalt not tell a lie. She's laughing over there, by the way, if you don't know. Verse number 2, and when she is last part of verse 1, let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Hon, we tried. It just isn't going to work. I'm sorry. Here's a divorce. She takes the paperwork and she leaves. And verse 2, and when she is departed out of her house, she may go and be another man's. What? Wait a minute. No! You can never divorce. It's in our Constitution. Your Constitution is not good. And it doesn't match the book. Here's an instance where a man and a woman became married. They were in love. They were Twitter-pated. You know what Twitter-pated is, right? You all seen that Walt Disney movie at some given point in time. They're in love. Then they start bickering and fighting, and they try to patch things up, and they try to work things out, and it just finally got to the point where they just like, we got to end this thing. And you know what she can do after they get a divorce? They can go and get what? Remarried. I heard somebody mumble it. Say it louder! It's okay if they got remarried. God put that in the law because do you think God's a pretty smart God? You don't think he knows that there's going to be times that just things ain't going to work? And he put in that law a situation where, in this instance, the guy gives his wife a divorce and she leaves, and it's okay if you get remarried. If God says it's okay, is it okay? These numbskulls, I mean, these gentlemen were talking yesterday, and I'm listening to them, oh, no, you can never get a divorce. And if you get a divorce and you get remarried, you're committing adultery. Show me a verse. Show me a verse. If you show me a verse that's in that King James Bible that absolutely says that, I'll believe it. I'm going to tell you right there. Guess how many times and places you can see where it's illegal to get a divorce. I'll give you a little hint. Guess how many times it is mentioned. You cannot get a divorce under these two instances, and in those instances, the men were being jerks. Ladies, you've ever met a guy that was a jerk? I'll like her. Absolutely drive you crazy. In this instance, it's okay, honey. We tried. You can go. And they part one from another. And it's okay if she gets remarried. You know what that verse tells me? Now understand, we're not under the law, we're under what? But at the same time, you know what that teaches me? There's a dispensational truth. If you are divorced, have ever been divorced, or are going through a divorce, I know from what I've heard from other people that it's gut-wrenching. And I am truly sorry you're going through that. If you need somebody to talk to, give me a call. I'll gladly just talk with you. We can talk baseball, football, fishing, whatever you want to talk about. Or if you want to talk about what you're going through, that's cool too. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're going through a divorce, God says you're all right. I'm sorry. It's okay. It's okay. If you're divorced, you can't play the piano. Ooh, that showed me. Legalism. The vanity of humanity. How we can take and we can change the scripture to match our point of view. And that's not how it works. Whatever scripture says is absolutely right. Whatever you is found written in that 1611 King James Bible is absolutely, positively accurate. No runs, no drips, no errors, just like that commercial. It's a good book. And whatever it says is right. If it says it's okay if you're divorced, it's okay. If you don't think it's okay, how about this one? Let me find a verse. I should have looked this up before. Go to Jeremiah chapter 3. Here's one where you can take the idea where there's no innocent party in a divorce. Oh, yes, there is. Na, 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 na. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 6. And the Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? Whoops, stop there. In verse number 6, we see the Lord, Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah. The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? What was Israel to the Lord? His wife. Israel had a problem. They were backsliding. What were they doing? She has gone up unto every high mountain, and under every green tree, and there she played the what? What's a harlot? You know what it is. You don't have to answer it. Here's Israel. Israel, the wife of Jehovah. Israel was backsliding. And what she did, according to the end of verse number 6, is she played the harlot. Verse 7. And I said, after she hath done these things, turn thou unto me. Lord God, Jehovah, says to Israel, I know you're playing the harlot, Israel. Stop. Come back to me. I'm your husband. Turn thou unto me. But she returned what? Did she go back to the Lord? No. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw for all the days whereby backsliding Israel committed what? Israel's committing adultery. And I put her away and I gave her a bill of, What did the Lord give Israel? A bill of what? Wait a minute. Oh, we can't have that. No. Lord, you cannot divorce her. We don't allow church in the church or adultery in the church constitution. You cannot break up with her. Nope, can't do it. William, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go to the Lord and I want you to tell him he cannot divorce Israel. And if he isn't careful, we'll have him. Not only can he not have his own supper, you know, the Lord's Supper, he cannot have the Lord's Supper, and at the same time, he can't play the piano. Huh? The Lord gave Israel a bill of divorcement. And he tried to work things out. And she refused. And it was okay. Think he had a heads up on knowing that Israel was going to commit adultery? He is one smart God, one intelligent God. And it's okay that God's divorced. Does that make him the epitome of evil because he's divorced? I guess it would be pretty safe to say that who is the epitome of evil here? Humanity. In this case, Israel. But do you think we were any different than Israel that we wouldn't have done the same thing? Listening to these guys talk and my heart's breaking because I'm thinking, listening to them speak, they're talking about with fancy words, but there is no truth in what they were saying, not a bit. They have no idea. No idea. Understand, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 21. Go there. First Thessalonians 5:21. Prove how many things? Whatever you hear, what's going on, we're to prove it. Prove it means test it, try it, make sure it stands in accordance with the book. And if it does, what do you do with that? Hold fast that which is. If you see that book and you recognize what that book is teaching and you have proof without question, without hesitation, that that point is absolutely without error, that it's correct, hold fast to that which is good. And in verse number 22, abstain from all appearance of what? Stay away from that which is wrong. Stay away from that which is evil. This baloney that people will propagate is wrong. It's not right. It does not stand in accordance with the book. And every time that book says something, it's absolutely correct, absolutely right, 100% of the time. If what you are teaching is based on the doctrine that resides with inside that book, then guess how often you're right? 100%. Thoroughly furnished unto how many good works? All. Every bit of it. If you have gone through a divorce, I am truly sorry. I feel for you. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you find another man or another woman, and they're doctrinal, they love that book, they're saved, they understand right division. Amen for you. I'm glad that you've made out. I think it's there. We should quit for now. We'll take it and perhaps another day talk about this. Or what would really be cool is have Dan teach that. Oh, my. Oh, my. What a great guy. As well as Nadine's husband, by the way. And from what I heard yesterday, Keith, too, pretty much. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time we've had to come together and to study your word. May we come to a full appreciation again and understanding on what it is that you want us to see. And may we then, once we see the truth, take that word out to a world that has no understanding about you and show them the magnificence of the grace message. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for all your truth. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.